Hello, this is Dr. Sam Goldhaber from Brigham and Women's Hospital and Harvard Medical School speaking for the Clot Blog on theheart.org at Medscape. I'm speaking to you from the European Society of Cardiology meeting in Rome, and today I'm going to share with you a recent publication from our inpatient records at Brigham and Women's Hospital dealing with novel oral anticoagulants that are prescribed not in the standard dose, but in the lower dose that is supposed to be reserved for patients with moderately severe chronic kidney disease. We looked through our inpatient records for more than 3 years and found more than 300 patients who were receiving the lower rather than the standard dose of the NOAC, and this included dabigatran, rivaroxaban, and apixaban. We didn't have enough data in this retrospective study to look at edoxaban. But what we found was surprising, that more than half of the patients receiving these lower doses of NOACs did not have any package insert or license indication to receive the lower dose. And as we looked around the world for reports of lower dosing or underdosing, we see that this is becoming a very widespread phenomenon. Certainly, underdosing or lower dosing is prescribed because healthcare providers want to cut down on bleeding complications. The unanswered question is whether by cutting down on bleeding complications with the lower dose of a NOAC, we're increasing thrombotic complications such as stroke, myocardial infarction, pulmonary embolism, and DVT. And this remains an unanswered question. So in our series at Brigham and Women's Hospital, for more than 50% of the patients, we could not find an indication for the lower dose. So then we looked through the records, and we found that some of these patients did have chronic kidney disease, but not at the point where they officially met criteria for the lower dose of the NOAC. Some had had prior histories of GI bleeding. Others were taking aspirin. And of course, many of the patients in our retrospective study had multiple medical comorbidities, and they were the types of patients who would not ordinarily qualify for the pivotal randomized controlled trials of the NOACs that we use both for stroke prevention and atrial fibrillation and for treatment of DVT and pulmonary embolism. This then brings up the question of real-world data in real-world experience versus the randomized controlled population. We think that in many instances, the real-world population is sicker and more fragile than those patients who make it into being recruited for a randomized controlled trial. And these sicker, more fragile patients, we assume, are at higher risk of bleeding, and this is the reason for underdosing. This raises the question, is underdosing really, for many of these patients, right dosing or correct dosing? And this remains unanswered. I think it points out that we will have to get a lot of information about the lower dose of the NOACs from observational studies, since these patients do not qualify often for the randomized controlled trials and follow them along. But I do think it's important to track those patients who are receiving the lower dosing of NOACs and to be certain we can try to figure out what the health provider is thinking when the lower dose is prescribed. This is an international phenomenon, an international observation. A high proportion of patients receiving NOACs are receiving the lower dose. And whether underdosing is the right dose in many cases remains to be determined. This is Dr. Sam Goldhaber signing off for the Clot Blog.